everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome founder of the Ignite Network and Awakening Prayer Hubs movement, senior leader of Awakening House of Prayer in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the first ever female editor of Charisma Magazine, and prolific author of over 50 books, her latest, Vindicated, Keys to Seeking God's Justice in Every Area of Your Life, Jennifer LeClaire. For our five-minute vignette series, and that one question asked, an answer given, and that question is, Jennifer, briefly share with our listeners how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the premise of your book, the heart of its message, and why every listener should be reading it.
When I was in my 20s, I was falsely accused of a crime I didn't commit and was facing 10 years in prison. It's a long story, but a police officer assaulted me and then said I hit her. And I thought that was all behind me, but after my husband abandoned me and our daughter, a warrant for my arrest appeared over this old accusation. And police officers came to my home at midnight, pounding on the door. They dragged me to jail, where I again faced a seven-year-old accusation, a false accusation. My attorney told me to take a plea deal. I mean, I was actually in jail, and my attorney said, you better take a plea deal. You might get out with 3.5 years on good behavior. And so I didn't know what to do. And in that moment, Bill Glass's ministry came through the jail with women who had testimonies about how Jesus transformed their life. And I thought, wow, look at this. I was amazed. And they began to share the good news of the gospel and how the Holy Spirit drew them to Jesus. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit drew me to Jesus. I didn't know what was happening, but I found myself surrendering to the God who paid the price for my sin. It was a beautiful moment. I was so hungry for God. I began to pursue Him and read the Word. I began to devour the Word. And within days, it was a miracle. I had a new attorney, and he said, this case is bogus, and he said he'd get me out of jail within just a few weeks. And, you know, there's much more to the story, and I share bits and pieces in my book, Vindicated, and tell the whole story in my short film called Vindicated. But the bottom line is, God vindicated me of those charges, and He gave me a new life. He took what the enemy meant for harm, and He turned it for good. Today, I have a prayer movement around the world called Awakening Prayer Hubs. We are in 100 nations. I'm a best-selling author. I mean, only God could do this. You know, in my book, Vindicated, I really work scripturally and through stories of my own and stories in the Bible to help you understand that God is our vindicator. He promises to make the wrong things right in the crooked places straight. He promises in Romans 8:28 to work all things together for our good if we love Him. And He promises to take what the enemy meant for harm and turn it around for our good. And so I wrote Vindicated, Keys to Seeing God's Justice in Every Area of Your Life, out of a deep desire to see captives set free and restored. Vindication is a promise, and the book is it's loosely based on things that happened in my life. And again, I produced this short film. You can find it at jenniferleclaire.org/vindicatedfilm. It's free to watch. But the book goes way beyond my experience. The book is your story in progress. You know, no matter how many times you've been betrayed, overlooked, robbed, or otherwise wronged, God can make it up to you, and He wants to make it up to you. He really wants to. You know, vindication is a desire, a common desire in the heart of man, whether you've been, you know, whether you're black or white, whether you're male or female, young or old, saved or lost, we all experience injustice in our lives. And like the innocent people who suffer at its hand, injustice, it comes in all shapes and sizes. It doesn't discriminate. you know, injustice, we all experience it. In my view, too many people today live bitter over what happened to them in the past, and therefore they remain in bondage to a memory that only exists in their mind, and they forfeit their own vindication. That memory is like a magnet that pulls them back into familiar emotions of pain and anger and despair. And when we stay in this unforgiveness, this attitude that we deserve something, this victim mentality, it ties God's hands. He doesn't move on our behalf. You know, at the extreme, people pursue this Old Testament of, you know, this eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, like they're going to get payback one way or another. And that's not the heart of God. God says, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. You know, that is the better way. And I've lived this better way. It's the way of Jesus, who offers to vindicate us from every injustice. So through trials and tragedies, I've learned the secrets to accelerating vindication in my life. I've learned how to apply faith principles to see God avenge me of my adversaries. I've learned to pray without ceasing in the right spirit. And I've learned how to wait on the judge, trusting him and doing good while he arranges double for my trouble or more. This is Jennifer LeClaire, and I hope you'll pick up a copy of the book, Vindicated, and watch the film at jenniferleclaire.org/vindicatedfilm. God bless you.
You can learn more about Jennifer's work, ministry, and mission by visiting www.linktr.ee/JenniferLeClaire and get her book at Amazon.com. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome founder and lead pastor of Global Vision Bible Church, social media firebrand, film producer, podcast host, and best-selling author, his latest, The Generosity Journey, Pastor Greg Locke. For our five-minute vignette series of interviews, one power-packed question asked and one answer given, and that question is, Pastor Locke, you've shared in detail on a previous broadcast your amazing journey to faith in Jesus Christ. And explosive film, Cast It Out in Jesus' Name, now streaming worldwide. As a recap, briefly share how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the premise of your book, the heart of its message, and why every listener should be reading it.
So I was 16, living at the Good Shepherd Children's Home in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I was in state custody, and basically my mom had to find a place for me to go, or I was going to be in juvenile jail for a couple of years. My father had been in the Tennessee State Penitentiary for about the first 9 or 10 years of my life, and so I was just really following in his footsteps with a lot of drugs and juvenile delinquency. And so when I went to the children's home in April of 92, 10 days later, I was taken to a youth revival, and evangelist David Benoit, he was very famous in the Baptist circles back in the day. He preached, and I got saved that night 32-some-odd years ago. So that's how I came to faith. And then I stayed in the children's home for a full 4 years. I didn't have to, but I chose to at that point. That's where I was called to the ministry and went off to Bible college from there. And they're still dear friends of mine to this day. What is the premise? To be honest, it really is what the title implies. It's a journey of generosity. I want people to understand that generosity is not something that we have a natural inclination for, because we're born naturally selfish. And so it's a journey to learn to be generous, to learn to not just tithe a 10% to a local church ministry, but to give yourself. As 1 Corinthians says, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And once we begin to understand that God owns everything that we have, it becomes easy to give somebody else's stuff away. And so it belongs to the Lord. And so it shouldn't be difficult. So the premise is, when God can trust you with his stuff, he will bless you with his stuff. So we've taught people to seek blessings when they should not seek God's blessing. They should seek God to trust them. And when he can entrust them with his treasures, he'll give them more treasure, because he knows they'll use it wisely. The heart of its message is very much the same. Luke 6:38, you give and it shall be given. So it's not that we give to get, although that happens, but we get to give. And that's a different perspective. I want people to understand that the generosity journey is a privilege. It is a joy to be able to give to God, to be able to be a a blessed steward of all that he's entrusted us with, whether that be time or talent or any sort of treasures, our vehicle, our kids, even our trials and temptations. Everything we have is a stewardship from the Lord. And if we will steward it properly and be good stewards of it the way we're called to be, then God will entrust us with more things so that we can continue to build his kingdom, not our kingdom. Why every listener should be reading it? Because naturally, the church in America has been taught to be comfortable in selfishness. And I think that's lukewarm Christianity. And I think it's time that we get out of our comfort zone and we learn to give back to the work of God. And we give to God by giving to and through others. And so we're like a divine PVC pipe, if you will. We are conduits to the grace of the gospel. And so I think the reason every single person ought to read this book is because in these last days, I believe God is utterly disgusted with the selfish motives and desires of the church. And it's time that we understand that as stewards, we're to give back. We're not to hoard it up and let the Antichrist and his kingdom spend it. We're to give it. We're to sow it into the kingdom. Lay up for yourselves treasures. God did not tell me to renounce the things that I have. He told me to relocate the things that I have. And by relocation, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So the premise is, if God said I can lay up treasures in heaven now, I better start now. It doesn't start when I die. Nobody gets a blessing for giving money away in their will after they're dead. My grandfather used to say, do your giving while you're living so you know where it's going. And so I want to give my money away now so that I can be blessed in the hereafter.
You can learn more about Pastor Locke's work, ministry, and mission by visiting PastorLocke.com. You will be exceedingly blessed that you did. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome licensed health professional, clinical trauma specialist, ex-Muslim, and author of her latest, The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health, Gain Lasting Victory Over the Devil, the Flesh, and the World, Kenza Haddock, for our five-minute vignette series of interviews, one power-packed question asked and one answer given. And that question is, Kenza, briefly share with our listeners how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the premise of your book, the heart of its message, and why every listener should be reading it.
Hey, this is Kenza Haddock. I'm a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and a board-certified pastoral counselor. I grew up Muslim. Growing up, I believed that I could earn salvation through a series of good works. Like if I was a good person, if I prayed enough, fasted enough, donated enough money, then I could earn God's favor enough for him to let me into heaven one day. Growing up with this mindset, I struggled with so much anxiety, especially fear of the unknown. Coupled with believing that when bad things happened to me were God's way of punishing me, by the age of 23, I was convinced that God was not only disappointed with me, God hated me. Living with this shame and condemnation for so long was a heavy burden. It led me down a dark path. I tried relieving my anxiety through having a friend's mom perform Reiki, a New Age energy session on me. That didn't help. I tried looking into astrology to alleviate my fear of the unknown. That only made it worse. Nothing seemed to work. My depression got so bad, I contemplated ending my life. One night, in the midst of my despair, I cried out to God. And when I say God, because I didn't know the one true God, I cried out to whoever was willing to hear me. That night, I said, God, I know you hate me. I know I lost favor with you. I am so sorry for everything I had ever done. Please show me the way to you. And I cried myself to sleep. That night, I had a dream that it was the end times. And in my dream, I looked out of the window, and it was as if the sky had opened, and I saw a man in a white robe descending from heaven. That man was Jesus, with his arms wide open. That night, Jesus called me out of darkness into light. In the months that followed, I renounced Islam, left everything I had ever known, and gave my life to Jesus. A few months into following Jesus, the Holy Spirit called me into the field of counseling. I went back to school, finished my internship, and fast forward a couple of years, I started practicing. Years into practice, I started noticing a pattern with my patients. And let me preface with this. I only took the toughest cases in my practice, as in cases where patients were desperate for answers. My patients had been through so many counselors, the amount of counselors they had seen was sometimes in the double digits, to no avail. They were stuck in a space where they were just managing their symptoms. It's like they were fine until the next panic attack, or they were fine until something happened that led them down a spiral where they couldn't get out of their own head. Using specific practical tools, I helped patients track down the source of their anxiety, the source of their stubborn depression, and gain victory over emotional turmoil. You know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he told his friends to unwrap his grave clothes off of him so he could be completely free. If you are in Christ, yet still struggle with anxiety day-to-day, or day-to-day depression, or emotional turmoil that takes you down a spiral, though you are alive in Christ, you may not be completely free. So this book comes alongside you. Using the tools in this book, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we uncover ways your enemy, the devil, has gained a foothold into your life. You will learn to recognize the enemy's voice to stop anxiety, condemnation, shame, and hopelessness in its tracks, and how to use a cognitive reconstructuring method, which is just this fancy way we mental health professionals use to describe renewing your mind or changing the way you think, which essentially alters your brain chemistry and as a result, alters the way you feel. Listen, because I struggled with anxiety, depression, and fluctuating moods before, I put my heart into this book. Because I wish someone had given me this book when I was struggling. So I made sure not to only address you from a clinical standpoint, but as a sister in Christ as well. As someone who cares about you. And as someone who wants you to know that you are not alone. So let's start this journey together. Grab a copy of The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health.
You can learn more about Kenza Haddock's work, ministry, and mission by visiting kenzahaddock.com and get the help you need today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome nationally renowned architect, venture capitalist, executive movie producer in God's kingdom, and this just for starters. With a passion to match marketplace efforts with kingdom principles, projects, and entrepreneurship, this 40-year veteran of business as founder and chairman shares his wisdom garnered in his latest must-read, Enduring Wealth, Being Rich in This World and the Next. Please welcome Mr. Raymond Harris for our five-minute vignette series and that one question asked, an answer given. Mr. Harris, sir, briefly share with our listeners how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the premise of your book, the heart of its message, and why every listener should be reading it.
Hello, I'm Raymond Harris. I'm an architect, executive movie producer, and venture capitalist in God's kingdom. I became a Christian when I was a young child. At age 9, I went with a neighbor to church. And there I heard the gospel presentation. I went forward down to the altar and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And at that time, I felt a cleansing. And I knew I had assurance that I would be with him. Later on, my faith entered into my career early. As a Christian in college, I followed Christ and even applied to go on staff with the ministry. My heart's desire, though, was to be in business, so I finished my architectural master's degree with the desire to become the best possible professional. Since my early days, I have employed biblical principles the best I understood them in how to practice architecture. I began my firm at age 27 with the idea of providing the highest quality professional service to corporate clients. I remember one early 3 o'clock morning when I'd worked all night and it was just too hard. As I was crying at my drafting table, I said, Lord, this is just too hard. and he gave me the wisdom to change the type of firm that I had started from being a design firm to being a service-oriented firm. I was to become a good employer instead of just being a good architect. That was the turning point for me. And after that, I began to pursue corporate clients, which would lead to doing work for such organizations as AT&T, Walmart, Sam's, and a hospital system in Dallas, Texas. As our firm grew, I employed biblical principles the best I understood them. The firm was in existence for 37 years under my leadership, and our employees certainly did not have to be Christians to work for us. But they were under my authority as a Christian who applied biblical principles the best I could understand them. Even if they did not have a faith in Christ, I'm sure that they enjoyed the benefits of goodness and kindness and compassion, love, generosity, and gratitude. Hey, I've just written a new book entitled Enduring Wealth, Being Rich in This World and the Next. Have you ever wondered why you work so hard to accumulate wealth, particularly when all your stuff could go out on the curb when you're gone? What is your ultimate purpose in working? And how about working so hard, saving, paying taxes, and then entrusting these funds to others so that they can spend it? Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. So how do we transfer our earthly assets into kingdom currency to ensure that they'll be waiting for us when we arrive in heaven? I encourage people to invest in God's kingdom and not only give money away. After all, the stewards that Jesus talked about in the parables were not just donors, but they were investors for their master. In my book, I share how economic engines are developed to build God's kingdom on earth. Being a steward in God's kingdom is an awesome privilege. Wealth in the hands of a steward is a mighty powerful thing. It's okay to be rich in this world as long as you know what to do with it. But it's even better to be rich in the world to come. My book, Enduring Wealth, will inspire you to become a steward who hears the great commendation from our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant.
You can learn more about Mr. Harris's work, ministry, and mission by visiting Amazon.com and BroadStreetPublishing.com. You will be blessed and enriched that you did. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome founder and executive director of Alabaster House, Kimberly Gannell, for our five-minute vignette series of interviews, one power-packed question, and one answer given. And that question is, Kimberly, briefly share with our listeners how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the premise of your organization, the heart of its message, and how listeners can get behind, support, and why.
Of course. Thank you, Jensine, so much for having me on. It's my honor to share with you. I grew up going to church with my family as a child. Of course, it was a great foundation, but it wasn't until my teenage years that I actually heard the gospel and then responded, of course, in faith with my sister. I have an older sister. And then over the years, I saw just God directing my course through many instances. He brought me to various places of influence, such as now serving as the founder and executive director of Alabaster House. And of course, Alabaster House serves as a spiritual resource to government leaders and their families. And we have countless opportunities to make a difference in the lives of our leaders in our nation. And it's so exciting. So working with members of Congress, congressional spouses, governors, first spouses, and generally those really in the three branches of government is who we minister to primarily. And we do that through a lot of people ask, well, I understand missions to third world countries, but how do you work with government leaders? And we do that by hosting various retreats, chapels, coffees, and other events, as well as meetings that we'll have one-on-one, often with a member and their spouse. So we just have such a heart for marriages as well, especially in the lives of our leaders. And we've seen God do amazing things even from just to encourage our listeners, right? Just from salvation to healing, restoring marriages. You know, the life, especially of Congress, is so intense, and the travel schedules, and you can imagine the amount of time that they're even able to spend with their families. And so we've had testimonies of even spouses being restored back to their, you know, marriage, and it's just been encouraging. So I want to share that with the listeners as well, and answering, you know, many different kinds of requests. But you might ask the question, why? Like, why work with government leaders? Aren't they all corrupt anyway? You know, we speak at various churches and venues, you know, all across the U.S., and that's one of the things that we love sharing with them. We have two videos actually on our homepage at alabasterhouse.org, and you'd be surprised watching those just to see the testimonies of government leaders living out their faith. And so I want to alert you to those. It's super encouraging, and of course will change your perspective. But look at the recent political climate. You know, so much polarizing divides, even the inability to communicate. It's tension-packed atmosphere, and we really need God to intervene. So really, all of this is a wound on the soul of our nation that only God can heal. And it's through the ministry of Alabaster House, again, which exists to bring leaders together and to help them look to God as the answer, that we have seen tremendous gains. And we know, and we're just reminded that even one government leader, you know, the capacity that they have impacts millions of people. So we believe as we stand with even just one leader, it makes that ripple effect reverberating into countless people's lives. And Alabaster House is known as that safe refuge where leaders can just really be themselves and not their title. They're allowed to grow in their faith and even in the relationships they have in their marriages and with their family. And this is really what we believe, that leaders that have healthy marriages and a guiding faith in Christ are better equipped to make healthy decisions on behalf of the nation, which in fact, it actually impacts each and every one of us. So if listeners want to get involved or hear more, I would recommend first going to alabasterhouse.org. You can sign up to receive our email updates, and that'll give you great timely information, how you can be praying for our government, as well as keep you in the loop and give you on up invitations like our leadership summit. We'd love to invite your listeners on September 10th and 11th, right on Capitol Hill. We will be bringing together leaders in business, ministry, and government, and you are invited. So please feel free to register at alabasterhouse.org.
You can learn more about Kimberly Ganau's work, ministry, and mission by visiting alabasterhouse.org. You will be blessed that you did. Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.